even before there was even an atom to make a molecule. You thought of us, we were in your thinking, and now in this hour, Father, you come down to bring forth into manifestation those thoughts, to put flesh on them, that you might receive sons and daughters. And so, Father, we thank you for being here to watch over and to protect us and to keep us from the great deception that is happening in this hour. And Lord, we pray that you would fill us with all good things and bless us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, for you said it in your word, and thus it already has taken place, and we are now recipients of it. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you'd open your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 13, I'd like to take a study this morning. We'll continue actually in the thoughts of who is this Melchizedek. Let's be number 31. We're going to call it the Great Deception. And in reading in Revelation chapter 13, in verse 8 we read, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear." Now, in paragraph 52 of "Who is this Melchizedek," Brother Branham said, now we find him at the beginning, his attributes, and now you were in him then. Then is when the book of life comes into view. Now, we read over here in Revelation, the 13th chapter, the 8th verse, that the beast that comes up upon the earth in these last days will deceive all those people on the earth whose names were not written in the Lamb's book of life before the foundations of the world. Now, this morning, I would like to look at this time of deception that Brother Branham was referring to, and as we see in the book of Revelations. Now, notice the ones who will fall for the deception are those whose names were not placed in the Lamb's Book of Life. That was written before the world was framed by the Word of God. Now, this morning, I want to look at this deception that is to take place, and I want to show how it can deceive all that dwell in the earth, with the exception of the elect. Now, we are warned by Jesus himself that at the last days, it will be a great time of deception. In Matthew chapter 24, if you turn with me, we're going to have to get your sneakers on, or maybe that's a bad word, your running shoes on, because we're going to do a lot of scripture this morning. Matthew 24, we read in verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." Now, what does it mean to take heed? It means beware, be careful, that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, I am anointed, and shall deceive many. Notice in verse 10, the same chapter, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Notice this is a time when we will draw that much closer, we should draw that much closer together. But because there is so much iniquity, and we are so bombarded on a daily basis, we become exhausted. And because we have such a daily struggle and daily fight with iniquity itself, we become drained. And our love waxes. In other words, it hardens toward one another. Now, but Brother Branham said there come to a time that the only love, the only real love, the only true love, will be within the bride of Jesus Christ, one for another. In Matthew, let's go to verse 21. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, false anointed and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that..." In other words, insomuch that means for the very purpose of, if it were possible, "they shall deceive the very elected. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he's in the desert, go not forth.
He's in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the parousia of the Son of Man be. In other words, it's not just going to be one place, but it's going to be a worldwide thing. As the lightning lightens us up from the horizon to horizon, so shall the presence of the Lord be. And we have seen it's not just an American thing anymore. It's not just American and Europe thing anymore. It's completely around the world. If you go to mine or even Brother Ron's website, you'll find there's a little clicker at the bottom. You can actually see all the countries. Actually, it doesn't even show all the countries, but it shows many of them. And I've traced it down to where a lot of these yesterday I was actually on it, and it says who's on, and I checked it, and there's somebody from China visiting the website. And and then I checked the one before that had just gotten off, and they were from Russia, in the east part of Russia, and then these people were in the China, Russian, on the number, they have, I think, 10 different time zones in Russia. And one was on 7, one was on 1. So, you know, they're coming from all over the world now. They're recognizing, they're seeing it. And it's a universal thing. The presence of God is a universal thing. And people are becoming aware for the first time, getting many wonderful, wonderful emails where people say, you know, it's really opened my eyes and it's really helped me to see. Of course, I've gotten some very negative emails, you know, where I'm branded as a shaman and as a witch doctor and as a inbreed and stupid and everything else. But that's fine, because Jesus said, more blessed are you when men shall say all manner of evil against you, for great is your reward in heaven. So he said, so I just figure it's a cha-ching, cha-ching. You know, it's just storing up treasure in heaven when they do that. But the fact is that Jesus says here that his parousia will be a universal thing from west to east, from horizon to horizon. See? Now, from how can I overcome, Brother Man said, we see this age that we're living in. It's one of the greatest ages of all ages. This Laodicean church age is the grandest of all the church ages, because it's the ending of time and the blending of eternity. And then it's the greatest sinful age. You know, let's just stop there for a moment. The blending of eternity. Now, I know you've all had these conversations around your home. You've had them with people that you work with. The fact is that time is going so fast. Where did the year 2000 go? Where did it go? You read in the magazines today, they say, you know, we were all planning for Y2K, and it's already come and gone. The year's already gone by. Where did it go? This church has been together for almost 19 years now. What? Where's time gone? It's blending with eternity. That's what's happening. You know, you go into work, and you read through, you know, your emails, you go through a few things, and before you know it, it's lunchtime. You get back from lunch and you do one or two things and the day's gone. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, time would drag and drag and drag. But now it seems like time is just going by, boom, 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 and where's it going? The Brother Graham says, the Laodicean church age is the grandest of all the church ages, because it's the ending of time and the blending of eternity. And then it's the greatest sinful age. There's more sin in this age than there's ever been. Now you wonder why you're struggling. And the power of Satan is many times harder to fight against than it was in any age. See? Here, back there in the early ages, a Christian could, for his profession of being a church or belonging to Christ, could be beheaded for it. He could be killed and put out of his misery and go to meet God quickly. But now the enemy has come in the name of the church, and it's so deceiving. This is the great age of deception when, and Christ said so, the two spirits would be so close in the last days till it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. See? See? And remember, Christ spoke of the elected people for this last day. See? It would be, it would deceive the very elected if it were possible. so close for marriage and divorce, Brother Dan said. Did you know that the first destruction internationally of the world or worldwide was because of pretty women? When the sons of God saw the daughters of men were fair, they taken unto them women. Is that right? Have you noticed the increase of beauty of women in this day? I seen the picture of Pearl O'Brien, which was supposed to be the prettiest woman in the nation at one time. And there isn't a teenage girl in this school, but what would outshadow her when it comes to beauty? The increase of the beauty of women is showing the time of deception. Now listen to this carefully. The increase of the beauty of women is showing the time of deception. And I'd like to ask a question. I think my pulpit's broken in half here. I'd like to ask a question. What does women represent? The church. Now listen to how Brother Brown ties this together. The increase of the beauty of women is showing the time of deception. When did a church look any more prettier than it does today? Everything is featuring great, big, fine buildings and millions of this and millions of that. Don't you see? She. The deception. Now that's something to think about. When you look at the church, if it's got these great, big, beautiful things, what's it for? They say for worship. Brother Brand says it's the lure. It's the deception. You see? The better the church looks, the better the deception is. Now, not that we want to meet in a stable. I think there's a balance in between there. However, just like the woman, fashioned by Satan to be deceptive. Remember Brother Van said, look at how in nature the man in all the species is the most handsome, the most beautiful. You look at the lion. He's got that big, you know, the big mane, and he kind of struts out there like that, and the lioness, you know, she's kind of plain. You look at the peacock, you know, he's big and, you know, and the little female peacock is just kind of plain. Look at all the different animals in the kingdom of God, and the male is the big, he's the big strong, and he's the beautiful. And the woman's side is always plain, except for the human race. And the woman is, and in this hour, they're getting more beautiful all the time, as Brother Brown says. You know, if you go back to Pearl O'Brien, I don't even know who she was. She was Miss America at one time. He said she just kind of homely compared to the average teenager in school today. You see how deception is. And Brother Brown said that Satan designed her. See? Now, if it wasn't a matter of looks, why, we would all go for character. Now, that's true. If it wasn't a matter of looks, every one of you, you young people, if there wasn't... Where's Peter? Peter! If every single girl in the world was ugly as a toad, what would you go for? How many fingers they got? You got more than three? You'd go for character. Right, Paul? Character. So what's the looks for? It's there for deception. Now, I'm not saying that you sisters can't look nice. You all do. In fact, I think the sisters in the Lord look so much nicer than the women in the world. They've got their blue gob on and, you know, all kinds of things. But there's something about the simple beauty that, in the radiant heart, as Brother Branham would put it, of a person who's truly yielded to the Lord. But this is what the whole thing is. The better the church looks, the better the deception is. Just like the woman, fashioned by Satan for deception. If it wasn't a matter of looks, well, we'd all go for character. Therefore, the looks are there to deceive. You see the trap? Don't look for beauty that's skin deep, but look for a character that reflects an eternal life inside. For marriage and divorce, page 22, verse paragraph 7, Brother Brown said, not pretty, but character. God looks at character. Man looks at natural beauty, but it's so deceiving. And that's why a woman was given that beauty for deception, to deceive. A beautiful woman, if she don't use it in the right way, it's a curse to her. That'll send her to hell quicker than anything else that I know of. If she could be pretty, sure, as long as she stays with her husband and does what's right, and that's fine and dandy. But she can take that same thing, and my, how she can deceive with it. For it was given her to do so. Again, in the book of Mark, chapter 13, verse 3, we read, we see the same scene unfold in the words of Jesus warn us of this time of deception. He says, "And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, 'Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?' And Jesus answering them began to say, 'Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am anointed, and shall deceive many.'" Now notice the main characteristic is going to be wars, and he says, there, you know, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and things, but he said, don't worry about it, that's not the time yet. So he says, the main characteristic is deception. And what an hour that we have of deception. From Thinking Man's Filter, Brother Vance says, "As I stood there looking at it and thinking of how deceitful it was, the question came to me and I stooped back and looked at that pack again. And I could just seem like something said to me, but the slogan's all right. A thinking man's filter, a smoking man's taste. It came to me that the deceitfulness, also in the natural realm, there in the tobacco, is something on the order of the churches of today, see? A deceitfulness. It's come to the whole world, has become a great deception of what is really true and what's right. See, even in politics and in social affair, in school, in everything, it becomes a deceitfulness. Now just think about this. He's out hunting. He looks down at a pack of cigarettes. It says, a thinking man's filter, a smoking man's taste. And he thinks to himself, you know, the slogan's right, but how deceitful this slogan is. Or how deceitful this pack is. The deceitfulness. How many remember the time he says, you know, there ought to be laws against false advertising? He said, I thought, you know, I'd really help my wife out, and I bought some of this dishwashing, you know, soap. And he says, you know, the commercial, you know, they show that they just pour the soap in there, they get the suds and stuff. He said they have eggs on, and they just dip it in, and it comes right out. Hey, it's sparkling clean. He said, I did that, it didn't come off. I had to rub and scrape and everything else for it to come off. There ought to be laws, he said. Just like with tobacco industry, you know, they put a little nicotine in there. The nicotine isn't in the cigarette to begin with. They put it in there. Why? Because it's addicting. You see how, you know, car advertisements. They don't advertise a car. They advertise some sexy little, 19 to 26-year-old woman. The same with alcohol. The same with just about everything today. They're not selling the product. They're selling, hey, just think of how great you look. Just think of all the dames you'll attract by driving this Bronco or driving this car. It's creating neurotics. Look at the deception in politics. For 36 days, we didn't know who was going to be president because of all the deception going on. I think I told you about the article that I read, a fellow that is he for his living, he works for the government. And he's a statistical analyst. And he showed by statistics that there was about 45,000 ballots that were taken out. It only took 15 minutes to do, where they had that machine that guy was arrested for, and they actually could punch 100 ballots at a time. And what they did was they set up the knob so that the knob would only punch through Al Gore's. So when they punched through Al Gore's, If it was an L, they just pulled up. Look, they didn't have to sort through and say, well, let's just do the Bush list. No, what they do is they say, grab them all, we'll take them in the other room, it'll take us 15 minutes, we'll punch through all of these, and if it's an Al Gore ballot, the stylus will go straight through the Al Gore hole, and it won't change the ballot at all. But if it's a Bush ballot, it's going to punch Al Gore, and it's going to have an Al Gore and a Bush vote, it's going to be thrown out. And so they disqualified 15,000 of Bush votes and 3,400 of Buchanan votes that way. Pretty tricky. Well, right up here in Cleveland, which is a very Democratic area, in four of the districts, there wasn't even one George Bush vote. Not even one. Now, that's against all... the odds of that, I can't remember, the same person getting struck by lightning 30 times. The odds are phenomenal. Now, it's not that I'm for one over the other. I think, but as I said before, they're both going to take us down the wrong road. But I'd rather, you know, somebody's going to hang me. I'd rather him be a decent, you know, at least in appearing, and at least in the outward appearance, a decent fella, than some, you know, half-baked, guy missing teeth and, you know, half an ear and nose bit off. And, you know, I mean, you know what I mean. You know, in other words, if you're going to be defeated, you'd like to be defeated by someone who's at least, seems to be in control of their faculties, not just some person that changes their own identity 8 times in a matter of 1 year. So, anyway, but it's all deception. And remember, Christ spoke of the elected people the last day. He said it would deceive the very elected if it were possible. Like Brother Branham said, it doesn't do any good to vote when they already know who's going in there. And then the media, how it manipulates the minds of the people and causes them to think the way that they want them to think. Look at the advertisements, how deceptive they are. We know that the mainstream media is all polluted and deceptive, and so many think that they can go to the internet to finally get the truth, and there is so much garbage on the internet that no man can know the truth outside of what has been vindicated by God Himself. And I'll say that again. The only way that we know and we can sort through all the garbage that's out there is because we have, thus saith the Lord. So then when you find in the garbage piles a piece of information that fits with what a vindicated prophet already told us, then you can say, okay, I can understand that this might be a true fact. But there's so much information, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see? And wait till next week, I'm going to get into this, the dumbing down of America, and show you just exactly what's happened. We'll have charts and everything else, Lord willing, if I can maybe bring the projector and get them up there. But you'll see what's happened with education. You'll see what's happened with violence. You'll see what's happened with all manners of things. It's just terrible that have taken place since they turned down the word. See? From Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. You've got to have a testimony. What's your testimony this morning? Is it just, well, you know, whatever happens, happens? Or do you really have a testimony? You know, I have taken the side with Jesus Christ. I am standing. I'm fighting the good fight. Paul said, I fought the good fight. I've run the good race. Can we see the same? See? Notice it's by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Like Brother Branham said, and I think I brought it out last week or the week before, where Brother Branham said, notice when Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, be moved, he said, not if I say, but if you say to this mountain. It's your testimony that matters. See? From Revelation 13, verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Notice the deception. Unless you catch what he's saying, looks like a Christian nation, but he speaks like the dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, that's Rome, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, that's Rome, whose deadly wound was healed. and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. That's television, and that's a space program. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And didn't we deceive Russia when we said that we've got these powerful Star Trek type Star Wars things and we don't even have it? It's just in the minds and imagination of the men. But we tricked them. And so finally they just went busted trying to figure out how they could send intercontinental ballistic missiles without getting shot down by our laser guns up in the air. We don't have them. But we deceived the entire world through our phony space projects where we landed a man on the moon. I don't believe we did. Now, it's very well we could have, because Brother Branham did qualify in one place. He said, well, they could have, but he said if they get there, they wouldn't find nothing. But there's two other places where he said that they'll never do it. Just like there's a couple places where Brother Branham says, thus saith the Lord, there will be a woman president or vice president before the destruction of America. So, we read on. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound of the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666, and that's Vaticanus. Or it's Vicarius Filii Dei. It's the Pope. Now notice, and I believe that the image is what is not the same thing as the beast. The beast is Rome. The image is what's created in her likeness. That's the UN and the World Council of Churches combined. It's man's united effort. And notice, it's they that give power to Rome. Because Rome was basically, after the French Revolution, were pretty much squashed. But we're going to get into that next week. I've got some tremendous quotes. From Satan's Eden, Brother Branham said, people ignorantly worshiping Satan, thinking they are worshiping God. As we're warned by prophecy in 2 Thessalonians, let's just read 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Let's just get it a moment, if we can right away. I'd like to read, I believe, 2 Thessalonians. I got the scripture here and say, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming, by that's parousia, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, and see the coming of the Lord and the gathering to him. As God will gather his people to him in the last days, the gathering of the people to the Lord, not to the church, but to the Lord, gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in your mind, or troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, in other words, it's a false letter, that the day of the Lord is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin, notice the man of sin, watch what he is now, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That was Judas, see? Who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That deceitfulness of the church of today, see? The son of perdition, the devil, the son of perdition is the devil. Then people worshipping Satan in this day, thinking that they're worshipping God. But they're worshiping him through a creed, a man-made denominations and creed. That's brought the people right down to the greatest deception that the world has ever known of. No matter how much the Word of God promised for this day is preached and vindicated, they still won't believe it. They won't believe it. Then why? We wonder why. Why won't they believe it? When God said that he would do a certain thing and he does it, and still they turn their back from it and turn away from it, just as Eve knew what God had said, God would do. But she turned her back on to listen to what he had to say. Just remember, in other ages, it's always been the same thing. In every age, it's always been that Satan tries to pervert the word to them, making them see some other age. All right? Now, now let's look at this scripture that Brother Branham is bringing out here in this quote from Satan's Eden. Notice he quotes Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2. So let's read. All right, if you turn with me, we'll go to 2 Thessalonians 2. We're going to examine this scripture. Because notice Brother Bass says, he's gathering them together, not to a church, but to him. Now, how can he gather them together to him if he's not here? That's why the word is parousia. See? Now, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Notice. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the parousia, the personal presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Not to the church, to him. That you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, notice a false word, a false letter, that's deception working here, nor by letter as from us, as at the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So look, there's got to be then two things happen. There's got to be a falling away from the truth, and there's got to be a revealing of who that son of perdition is. In other words, there's got to be a message that would declare so much Christ that he is here among us, that you would be able to understand and identify who it is that is here, that everything else becomes false. You recognize the false from the true because of that message preached. See? Who opposes and exalteth himself. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his parousia. Even him, whose parousia is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they might all be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, what I'd like to do is kind of break this down in a simple format. The Weiss translation puts it this way. And then shall the lawless one be disclosed in his true identity, whom the Lord Jesus shall slay with the breath of his mouth, that's his word, and render inoperative by the sudden appearance of his personal presence, the coming and presence of whom the man of lawlessness is according to the operation of Satan in a sphere of miracle demonstrating power and attesting miracles and miracles of a startling, imposing, amazement awakening character, which deceive. And whose coming and presence is in the sphere of every kind of wicked deception geared to the gullibility of those who are perishing. This gullibility being caused by the fact that they did not accept the love for the truth to the end that they might be saved. And because of this, God sends them a deluding influence resulting in their believing the lie. Now notice it's the same one that Eve was told. In order that the Almighty judge who did not believe the truth, but took delight in wickedness. Now, what then is this great deception? I believe the greatest of the deception is the fact that the people deceive themselves. They're blind, miserable, and naked, and don't know it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Any one of us can stand before the mirror. If you honestly stand before the mirror and look at yourself, you not only see a carcass, a body, but you see a person. And the eyes is the gate to the soul. You stand in the mirror and you look right into your soul. And then you ask yourself if you're a Christian. Ask yourself if you're living your life for the Lord. Ask yourself if you've got your body of this death under control. Ask yourself a few questions. Take a little inventory, but do it while you're looking into the eyes so that you can gaze down into your soul. See? Now let's look at the scripture that Brother Branham's bringing out here from Satan's Eden. And notice that the Weiss translation brings it up pretty clear. Now in Romans 1 and verse 28 we read, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now why does God give them over to a reprobate mind? Because they don't want to retain God in their knowledge. Now there is a point here that I do not want you to miss. And that point is that the deception comes from within. It first comes from the people turning down the truth. Why? Because as Jesus said in John 8:37, he says, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen my father, and you do that which you have seen your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You know that he is of your father. Then said they unto him, We be not born of fornication. We're not serpent seed. We have one father, even God. Well, I thought you said Abraham was your father. They don't even know who their father is. See? Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh, notice, of his own. For he is the liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of unbelief? Sin. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth. What does hearing mean? Understand. He that is of God understands God's word. You therefore understand them not because you're not of God. The fact is that to be deceived, you have first got to turn down or to turn away from the truth. Thus, you deceive yourself. You don't believe the lie because you were an innocent bystander who was tricked into believing the lie. You believe it because you want to believe it. Notice in Mark 7:7, Jesus says, How be in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold to the traditions of men. The washing of pots and cups and many such things like things that you do. And he said unto them, Full well you reject the commandments of God, notice, that you may keep your own traditions. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father and mother, let him die to death. But you say, If a man shall say to his father and mother, It is Corban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father and mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such things do you. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from outside the man that entering into the man can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile him. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house of the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable, and he said, and he spake unto them, or saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever things from without entering into the man cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that is what defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, and deceit. Lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So, if you can be deceived, brother, sister, it's only because it's in here. You want to be deceived. You see? In Hebrews 3, in verse 12, Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called a day. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of unbelief. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. The people leave the word, notice the people leave the word on their own account. Because they have an evil heart, God says. Notice in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, now what's sin? Unbelief. If we say we have no unbelief, he says, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now notice, John tells us that we only deceive ourselves. In other words, if I were to say, Ron, if you say that you have no unbelief, you're only deceiving yourself. You're only deceiving yourself. The fact is, all have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. The person that can stand there in the mirror and say, I sure like what I see. I'm such a wonderful person. I give to the church. I do penance. I do this and that. Deceiving ourselves. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If I were to say that, look, brother, sister, I try to live for the Lord and, you know, I'm perfect. I'd be deceiving myself because my wife could give you a whole list. My kids could give you a whole list. You only deceive yourself. Deception comes from within. That's what Jesus said. It comes from within, not that which is on the outside. These people, look, like Brother Vail said years ago, he said, look, I've never been afraid to pick up any book and read it. Whether it's on, mysticism or this or that. I've never been afraid of picking up a spirit. Why? Because, brother, sister, let me say something. If you're doing those things because you don't believe, it'll be manifested in the doing of those things. But the fact is, if you're studying those things so that you have an answer to prove those things contrary to the Scripture, you see the deception's not there. A lot of people do things because the deception's already in their heart. They want to do those things. And that's why they walk the fence. See? In James 1:22, be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You're not deceiving anybody else. Let me say this. I'll say this. The make-believer isn't fooling anyone except himself. The make-believer doesn't fool a soul. The person who's not born again and thinks he is, the only one he's fooling is himself. And that's the hardest thing. There's so many people that need to be born again, but think because they were raised in church they are. And you can't tell them anything, because you try to tell them, then you're a hateful person or whatever they want to call you. But the fact is, they're only deceiving themselves. Everybody else knows that they're not. See? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1:26, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Then, brother, sister, if you're deceiving yourself, what religion you do is in vain. Notice when you deceive yourself, your religion is in vain, he says. In 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness, in other words, in their own false wisdom. Now here's a commandment. It says, let no man deceive himself. So, if there's a commandment to tell you not to deceive yourself, then is it true that men can deceive themselves? But we're commanded not to deceive ourselves. We're commanded to be open and honest. Not a bunch of stuffed shirts. Therefore, people get what they ask for. Galatians 6:3. For if any man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches him in all things. In other words, look, if you're getting something from the word, let the one who's teaching you know. See? Now, Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Now this scripture would sound as if it's possible to deceive other people. And yet, we've seen other scriptures, many of them, that says the deception actually comes from the inside. Now, what is this word simple? Now, these simple could not be in the election because they're able to be deceived. They are simple-minded people who are not out to hurt anyone, but they become deceived by what they hear. But as I have already shown you, they can only be deceived because they do not have a love for the truth. So they accept just anything that might sound right, but it isn't. Notice what Paul says in Ephesians 5 and verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Notice they have a choice, because they've been warned. You see, God always sends warning before judgment. And when the people turn down His warning, all that is left for them is what? Judgment. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, notice here, deceiving and being deceived. But continue on with the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now notice, the ones who are deceiving are deceived themselves. That is why they can be so sincere in their deception. They think what they're doing is right because they deceive themselves from it. How many men have come across this message in the world? I venture to say that there's hardly a man standing in the pulpit today that hasn't heard of William Branham somewhere down the road, if he's been around for any period of time. And they turned it down flat. What? Based on the word of another. Oh, watch out for that Branham. It's like with Brother Vail. How many times I've heard people have written through emails or whatever, or in conversations, I've heard people blast Brother Vail. And I've asked those people, have you ever heard him preach? Nope. Then how do you know he's preaching what you're saying he's preaching? Well, I heard so-and-so said that so-and-so said that so-and-so said. Why don't you call him and ask him for yourself? Why don't you listen to a tape or two and find out for yourself? They don't want to do that. It's so convenient to let someone else do their digging for them. When I first heard around Brother Vail's church somebody say that Brother Branham said that there is no man that understands me or this message like Lee Vail, I went to Sister Branham. I called her up. I said, Sister Branham, I said, you don't know me. I said, but I'd like to ask you a question. Brother Branham, I believe we should always go to the horse's mouth. And I said, since Brother Branham's off the scene, you're the closest one to him. So did Brother Branham ever say that there's no man that understands me or my message like Lee Vail? And she said, well, brother, she said, since the car accident, I have a very poor memory. But she said, it sounds an awful lot like something Brother Branham would have said because he had an awful lot of respect for Brother Vail. Well, that was my answer. Brother Branham said something. If he didn't say those exact words, he said something very close to it. But I went to the horse's mouth myself to verify. Not just taking for granted that Brother Branham said this. See? And she worked both ways. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 1, therefore, seeing that we have this ministry, we have, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. That's what dishonesty is all about. It's the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, that's a false wisdom, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face, the presence of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, brothers and sisters, the deception. You can't be deceived, number one, if you're God's seed. And if you are God's seed, His elect, then as the Word is manifested and you see it, it's part of you. But notice, Paul says, we don't handle the Word of God deceitfully. We don't preach one thing with an ulterior motive. We preach it not to get ourselves in the way, to get ourselves out of the way, so that Christ might be the one that's manifested. In Ephesians 4 and 8, it says, wherefore, he saith, he ascended up on high and led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he has descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that also ascended up above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some, these are the gifts, he gave some to the apostles, some to the prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Notice, for the perfecting, the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the uplifting and the building up, till all come in the unity of the faith, the revelation, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. What's the word sleight mean? By the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You ever hear the sleight of the hand? The sleight of men, the sleight of the hand. Put three balls, or put one ball under three things, and the sleight of the hand just... Now, where's the ball at? The illusion. See? By the illusory machinations of man, letting you think they're preaching one thing, but they're really pushing another. See? Kingdom building. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and the cunning craftiness, the cunning of false wisdom, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking that, notice, they lie in wait to deceive. Their purpose is deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. In 2 John 1 and 7, we read, for many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that you lose not those things which you have striven for, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses, that means goes beyond the limits of true doctrine, and abides not in the doctrine of Christ, he doesn't have God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. So if you're abiding in the doctrine of Christ, you have both a Father and a Son. If you don't have both a Father and a Son, if he is his own Father, you're not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. And therefore you don't have God. And he says, if there come any among you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Don't have nothing to do with it. From God of this evil age, Brother Master, the two spirits. One of them, God's Holy Spirit. The other one, the devil's spirit, working in deception. The people of the earth are now making their choice. The Holy Spirit is here, calling out a bride for Christ. He's doing it by vindicating his word of promise to her for this age, showing that it is Christ. If the finger is supposed to move in this age, the finger will move. If the foot is supposed to move in this age, the foot will move. If the eye is to see in this age, the eye will see. See? The Spirit of God, as it's grown into the full stature of God, is the age that we're now living in. The Holy Spirit is here, vindicating the message of the hour. And the Holy Spirit is doing this so that the people that believe God will be called out of this chaos. The devil's unholy spirit is here calling his church by the error, as usual, by perversion of the Word of God, like he did at the beginning. See? It's coming right back to where that, right back to that seed time again. From Eden, here it is again. And in closing, in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, notice, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of right wiseness, whose end shall be according to the works. Notice, they're transforming themselves. It's deception all the way. I believe, brother, sister, look, it says they're deceiving and being deceived. You know, it's just like the vote. Just like all these people that would vote for a man. Like, look, let me just say this. I say this not to be a bigot. And I'm not a prejudiced person. But when 95% of the blacks in this country vote for Al Gore, and yet the blacks are very religious people. Very religious people. And yet they would turn down their religion to vote for a man who believes in killing babies. Because of the dough. because he's giving us money. Those people purposely are deceiving themselves and they have to justify themselves. Look at the Jesse Jacksons out there. Purposely deceiving themselves and deceiving others. Because they know the number, they know it. What's wrong with people voting for the best, the man that's the most godliest? I know you're not going to find too many godly men in politics. That's an oxymoron. But the fact is, what's wrong with voting for the better person? But it's money. The love of money is the root of all evil. See? Romans 3:11. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of ass is under their lips. Now, if the tongue uses deceit, what does the Bible say? Out of the abundance of the heart, what? Speaketh the mouth. So where does the deceit come from? It comes from the heart, the understanding. See? Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 2:3, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as we know, or as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. A cloak of covetousness. In other words, these guys are covetous, but they use a religion to hide it. The old Roberts, they would say that God held him hostage for $8 million so he could build his hospital. And so a man comes along with $4 million, it's money from a dog racer. He raises racing dogs. He has a racing dog place. The Bible says you can't even take the tithe off a dog or from a prostitute. But not Oral Roberts. He's right there to grab up as much as he can. The fact is that they're full of greed. What does a man want the big hospital for? Does he really have a humanitarian heart? Why doesn't he go out and set up little missions around the world? Why have some big old hospital with his name on it? Some big old university with his name on it? You see, they're trying to leave a mausoleum to themselves. But Brother Branham said, look, he said, you people, you call this the Branham Tabernacle. He said, I never told you you could do that. He said, take my name off of it. They wouldn't do it. You see. Romans 7:11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And Titus 3:3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of right wiseness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. There's only one way out of the deception, brother, sister, and that is to let Christ in your heart. Let Christ, who is the Word, take over preeminence in your soul. Otherwise, because if He's not there, you will be deceived. Because all whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be deceived. And only those who are ordained to receive God's Spirit will receive the Spirit. So, I hope we can understand that the great deception that's out there, the only one that's deceiving is, it's not deceiving the elect. It's deceiving everyone else. I hope you're not deceived by what's going on out there. I don't think you are. I think you're wise as serpents but harmless as doves. But the fact is, brother, sister, that only you and the few like you around the world in the election. I want you to think about, we've got, what, maybe 30-some people in here today. If there's one in a million, as Brother Van said, and there's about 1 billion so-called Christians in the world today, that would mean that there's only about 1,000, possibly 1,000 in the election. It could be as little as maybe 500 or less. There was 8 in the days of Noah. There's not going to be a whole lot out there. You try to name the different ministers in the message who really truly believe this and are living it. And there's just maybe as many as you can put on both hands and your feet. Not a whole lot out there. And the churches where they are not very big churches. They're not in the hundreds and you know, 400 or 500. They're small churches. Brother Vail's local assembly is not, you know, it's maybe 2 or 3 times bigger than this, but you know, it's not much bigger than that. The people come in from a distance, like Brother Branham's. Brother Branham said, how many in here are from Jeffersonville? Oh, I see maybe 7 hands up there. The rest of people came from distance to hear the word. There's not going to be a whole lot, and so everyone else will be deceived. And you see it. I mean, you know, Brother Branham talked about the insanity that's happening in the world. He said, only the elect will not be insane because we'll have the mind of Christ. I can't believe that. I mean, they didn't give us much of a choice for president, but I can't believe that Al Gore got 50 million people. 50 million people voted for a man that changed his personality 8 times in the course of 1 year. That went from being pro-life to pro-abortion. You know, went from being pro-gun to pro-anti-gun and all these just, you know, regular things. Went from being a pro-Christian to an anti-Christian, back to being Christian again. Went from being a farm boy to an anti-farm boy to a farm boy. Went from being pro-tobacco to being anti-tobacco. And yet he had the gall to say, I'll do anything it takes to win. And that's on record. In fact, in the same interview where he said that, he said, well, I realize George Bush, this is just a race for him, but, you know, if it's over, he doesn't win. He says, he's got a life. He said, but me, he said, I'll do whatever it takes to win. Well, who would want to vote for a man that's so obsessed by it that he'd do anything to get it? Like Brother Bam said about, you know, if you're truly called, you run from it until finally it's captured you and you can't get away from it. Then you learn to live with it. Deception comes from in us. Either you're already set up to be